I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. What are you up to today?
Well, I'm excited because we're kind of matchy and we didn't plan it.
We are. If you can see this video, I'm like in a teal juicy jumpsuit and you are in like a azure blue.
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing. But I'm so excited. I've wore the top before, but I was telling them how my pants didn't. They weren't the right size or whatever. They sent the wrong size. And I have the matching pants now.
Nice. Finish the set. So I'm single now.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
First of all, before I get into it, I hate saying I'm single. And it's not like a status thing. Like, I think it's better or worse to be single or married or with somebody. And I could be imagining this, like maybe nobody's thinking it. But I feel like when I say I'm single, whoever I'm talking to is going to get right into, so who are you going to date next? So are you trying to meet anybody? Like, I hate that.
Oh, I'm not thinking that.
I know you're not thinking that because you know me.
Like, fun.
And maybe nobody else is thinking that, but I always kind of felt like that was the way. And the only other time I was really single in my adult life, I mean, I was single in college, but whatever. After that, the only time I was really single was for like 2 or 3 years in Vegas where I was just kind of dating. And I felt like in the press at that time too, everybody was pushing for like, so when are you settling down? Da-da-da-da-da. Or like a magazine would do like a photo spread on my house and like the title would be like, wait, for Prince Charming or something like that. And it's so cringe and embarrassing and dead. So I almost kind of like hate admitting I'm single for that reason.
Yeah.
Have you ever been single?
No. I've not, actually.
That is so funny.
Not officially, no. When I say not officially, there was a time like when I was leaving the mansion.
Yeah, but I think you kind of knew who you were going to date.
I did.
Like, yeah. There wasn't overlap as far as you dating him or anything, but like, I think you knew who you liked.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've never been single.
That's so crazy.
It is.
But I mean, good. You find the people you're supposed to be with.
And I'm with them for a really long time.
Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of like that. Like, I'm a long-term relationship person, but there was like a minute when I was kind of single.
I remember the show was really pushing to film, trying to do all that. And you were like, I don't want this on camera.
It was so bad. Like, we can cover it when we get into the spinoffs, but they were awful about it. Like, to the point where I felt like it was a breach of other people's privacy. And I'm still like embarrassed and feel bad about it to this day.
Yeah. But
and they really went behind my back to do some of the shit too.
Because I was going to say, well, if somebody, you know, they kind of know what they're getting into, I feel like they should sort of know.
Totally. But there was one guy, the guy I was dating in season one of Holly's World, it was brand new. Like, I didn't want to ask him to be on the show. And I was clear with Kevin about that. But he kept doing weird things. Like, he'd get Angel and Josh to talk about that guy on camera when I wasn't there.
Oh.
Or remember when we went on the road trip and you go, oh, how's so-and-so? And I go, oh, I'm not seeing it anymore. Like, and I just kind of brushed it off. And I thought they weren't going to use it. And I thought, well, they're not going to use it because we've never talked about this guy on the show before. He hasn't been established. But little did I know, they did a whole thing behind my back. And then they used the whole thing. And I was so embarrassed because I just feel like that wasn't something that was talked about with that guy before. And I feel like that's so disrespectful. And it's just, it's not my style.
Yeah. In LA, it's tough. I remember even I was still at the mansion and everything. And it was one of the first times that I got to go. It wasn't the first time, but it was when I was heavily going to Vegas for appearances and stuff. And somebody wrote a story about me dating the DJ at like the Palms.
I remember that.
It had a picture of me like in the DJ booth with the DJ because they ask you to go when you're hosting, they ask you to go and like stand in the DJ booth. Like, and I'm like, I'm not dating that person because Hess pulled me aside. You guys, and was like freaking out and was like, is this true? And I trust you when you go to Vegas and stuff. And it's like, I was not dating the DJ.
But the guy I dated in the second season of Holly's World, he was cool and he was on camera and everything was good and stuff. But it was, I wanted to meet somebody privately and decide I like them before it got blown up, you know? And that was hard being on a reality show.
Well, are you okay right now?
No, 100%. Like, we're still friends. We still talk every day. But it was just getting to a point. And like, you know, because you know me. And I've said it here on the podcast too and on the Patreon. Like, my schedule's just been so fucking nuts the last 3 months. All good stuff, all good opportunities, but also like a lot of responsibility. Everybody has responsibilities and bullshit they have to deal with too. And I've just, it's been, something has to change. I'm going to crack. And trying to keep a relationship going was hard for me because I don't know. It's hard to explain. I just feel like our relationship wasn't easy. Like hanging out wasn't effortless. And it just, I don't know. As we're recording, we're dead smack in the middle of this time period right now. But there's like a time period where like I won't even be in Vegas for like 3 weeks straight. Cause I'm in New York and then I'm here and then I'm on a cruise with my kids. But I hate saying I'm single because I don't want anybody to think, oh, who are you going to date next? Because I'm not like
or
I
watching
don't even...
for it. And every time yes. you're with a guy, it could be like a real estate agent or something. They're like, mm-hmm. she's dating him.
Yeah. And I'm not into that at all. Like I'm not looking. I'm 100% fine being single. And you know me, like I love synchronicities and shit that feels like it's meant to be. And if I meet somebody, it's going to be totally organic. So,
there's an episode today too.
So we are actually in Vegas. You guys got there. The party bus arrived.
You guys, it took forever. It took forever. I know that we had a delay with the grill missing, but I swear it took 2 days to get there. I swear we spent the night in that van.
Yeah, it's so crazy. So you guys get to the Palms, and this was the first time we ever met John Gray, who was like George Maloof's second at the Palms. And he's just somebody that like I've known for years in Vegas after that. Like you guys listening are like, who? Like, we don't care. But I'm like, no, this is somebody like we've known forever. So it's weird to go back and like see the first day we met this person.
Yes, I was thinking, I have it in my notes too. John Gray was amazing.
And he dated the playmate Allison Waite for like a couple of years after that. And they were like always like the Vegas couple I would go see when before I moved there. So
cute.
Yeah, so it was just kind of a cool moment to have caught on camera.
Definitely.
You walk toward the elevators, and right by the elevators, there was a Playboy store. And it's so crazy because when you guys walk by, the Playboy store was under construction.
Yes.
Because this was when they were just adding all the Playboy stuff. Like, I don't even think the actual Hugh Hefner suite was done by the time you guys are there for Kendra's birthday.
It's not.
So you guys are walking toward the elevator, and the Playboy store is under construction. But it's so weird to even see that because now that's not even there anymore. Like, I'm sure it's a store that's something, but it hasn't been a Playboy store in a million years.
Oh, it so never just, occurred to me it wasn't a Playboy store anymore.
Yeah, no, it's just like a random store.
I thought it was, there was something very sad when I saw that. I'm like, the excitement of that Playboy store going in. Mm-hmm. And I just loved, like we said, it felt like a home away from home at the Palms. And that Playboy store, like I felt like I could go in there anytime if I forgot anything or like needed something else to wear or, you know, didn't bring enough swag or whatever. And we did so many promotions with that store. Like it just, I don't know. And the fact that we saw at that point where it's like still in construction mode and that excitement of that and then it being gone now.
Yeah. It's weird to see like the whole evolution.
And it didn't even occur to me that the store itself was gone. Like, I don't know. I just never even thought about it.
Yeah.
Like, of course it's gone now. But I always just sort of imagined it being there in just like a lesser form, you know, or maybe it was taken over of more of a gift shop with a little bit of Playboy merchandise still in there.
Yeah.
I don't know what I thought.
I'll have to go back in there and look and see what actually it is. I mean, I've been to the Palms several times since the Playboy stuff has been out and I don't remember what it is. I think it's just a generic store.
That makes sense. So we go, he shows us to our rooms. There's two big giant suites. You know what's funny about these suites is they only have like one bedroom in them.
Yeah. And they're not the most, at least the Hugh Hefner one too, which that one wasn't open, but it's kind of mirrors
it's
like
a
sky villa. Because there would be several of the sky villas that had like the jutting hot tub swimming pool thing over the edge. And the Hugh Hefner one was just the biggest one that was two stories. But they also felt very cold too. Like it's a great room to have a party in, but you don't feel like cozy, snuggled up in bed or anything.
Yeah. Well, that's because they have the water feature. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, you fall into it. I saw so many people fall into it.
I think Mary almost booked into it once.
She has. Yeah. For sure. And we'll probably talk about that when we do the Hugh Hefner Sky Villa. But it had the water features and it was very like glass and stone or like travertine or whatever it is. So, yeah,
like, you know,
I feel cozy in that.
Like, you know, when you have the AC blasting and every surface in the room just holds onto the AC. And then when you're too cold, you can't get it back warm again.
So the Lucky Strike. Wait, is it not Lucky Strike?
Kingpin Suite.
Kingpin Suite.
Yeah.
That one only had like one bedroom, I think. Off to the side.
You're probably right. I don't even remember what the bedroom was. I just remember it's a big old suite with a bowling alley in it.
Yeah. So obviously there's room for foldaway beds and stuff. But like there's one bed in that as far as I know.
Yeah.
And then in the Sky Villa, I think it's two bedrooms. I think there's like the master and then there's like a you know, a secondary mm-hmm. bedroom. And then obviously there's tons of room for fold away beds, but there's just not like, it only holds like four people.
Yeah. And it's weird because it's such a big fucking suite. Huge. It's just like to have a party in basically.
It's like bigger than most people's apartments or homes. Both of them.
And Kendra says, this was a big ass tease to me. I wanted to stay a week. And I feel like that's kind of how we thought about everything or felt about everything, especially Vegas, because we were so lucky to have all these opportunities and stuff, but you only get like a snippet.
Yeah.
And then you have to turn right back around and go home.
Yeah. And for the most part, we weren't even allowed to stay the night usually. Like when we went mm-hmm. with Hef, occasionally, depending on how late things were going to go, he would spend the night. But usually, if he could get out of there the same night, it didn't matter if it was 3 a.m. and we were heading to the airport, he would.
Yeah. And then after seeing the Kingpin suite, you guys are taken into the Sky Villa, which you're shown around there. And I don't know if it's the exact Sky Villa, because there was a handful of them that looked identical underneath the Hugh Hefner one. But I just remember going to like so many after parties in those.
Yeah,
like
for sure. But do you think this is interesting? So like there's a knock at the door and we're all immediately freaked out by this knock at the door. And it turns out it's just you and Destiny. But like, why are we so, even when I watch this, I'm panicked about the knock at the door. We all were like, what did we do? Like, we all automatically think that we're in trouble when there's like a knock at the door.
That's interesting. I didn't notice that in the show. Before Destiny and I come, I noticed one thing Kendra's really good at, which I think is one of the reasons the producers loved her so much and like hated me, is when she walks around the rooms that you guys are being shown. Wow, cool, like so loud, so over the top, so, and like if it were me walking around, oh cool, like Even if it was the coolest fucking thing I'd ever seen, I'd be like, oh that's nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like seeing somebody, like, because if you were hanging out with somebody and they were doing what Kendra was doing in the scene, you'd be like, are you okay? But on TV it brings the viewer in because she's just like flipping out and screaming over every little, a dining room. Like, who the fuck cares about a dining room? Like, yeah, it's nice if your room is big enough to have a dining room, but the dining room, and it's just like a ordinary dining room. So I will give her flowers for that. She was very good at that kind of stuff.
And I feel like I fall somewhere in between. Like, I'm super excited and point things out and do like the room
tour.
I think
you're good at it too, but you're more like realistic. Like if somebody was hanging with you in real life, they'd be like, oh cool, Bridget's into this. Whereas if you try and picture like if somebody was doing what Kendra was doing in real life, you'd be like, are you okay? Like what? But it works on TV, you know?
Yeah. Did you get your Hungry Root stuff yet?
Not yet. I can't wait. How was yours?
Oh my God. I was so excited when I got it. Well, first of all, you go on and do this like little quiz thing on there and they send you like recipes and like this is all the ingredients you're going to get. But I'm such a picky eater. So mm-hmm. sometimes I'm like, ooh, spinach. Yeah. I really like this recipe with artichokes and chicken and uh-huh. cheese, but spinach. Like you can go in and like change that ingredient to something that you like substitute it out.
Oh, cool.
And if there's anything that they like, I was able to like get full meals sent to me plus do some grocery shopping on there.
Oh, awesome.
It was amazing. Like, I was so excited about it. And Nick loved it. He was like, this is so good. We've never had anything like this before. And I'm like, I know. Because I, like, get stuck in my recipes, yeah. you know? Hungry Root is the easiest way to eat healthy. They send you fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements. It's like your personal assistant for healthy living.
Take a fun, short quiz, and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals, what you like to eat, and more. Then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use.
Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Girls Next Level listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life.
Just go to hungryroot.com/nextlevel to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies.
That's hungryroot.com/nextlevel. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. So you and Destiny come flying through the room, which is really like a fun, I feel like that's a really fun moment where you like come running in.
And what you're wearing, the color looks so good on you. Like, I feel that way about everything you're wearing in this episode.
Oh, thanks. I don't remember what I'm wearing.
I don't remember in the scene either because I didn't put it in my notes. But you're wearing Well, the dress you wear later is really cute and it's a really good color. I think it's your bathing suit and I think it's bright yellow, like highlighter yellow. And then I think your dress later is purple.
Yeah, it's like a magenta color, like hot pinky purple. So then we're at the pool and we're like dancing around.
And you guys are all talking about getting tattoos. And I was going to ask you, were you guys really going to get tattoos? What are you talking about? But then I was talking to Kimberly Holland, one of the playmates on this trip, asking her, do you remember anything about this? Because everybody we've tried to talk to has the biggest amnesia about this night. And she said her and somebody else did go get tattoos. She said she got it removed later, but they went and got like bunny tattoos.
So everybody was supposed to go get this. Yeah, it was the talk. We were all going to go get a matching tattoo.
Were you all going to get it in the same spot or different places?
I think everybody was going to get it in the same spot. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I don't remember really. I remember there being talk of a tattoo. I don't know if it got that specific where we were all going to get it at this in the same place, the same mm-hmm. thing. Well, it was all going to be the same thing, but I don't know. I don't have a single tattoo. So that would have been my first tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, that didn't happen.
And just so people know, there was a tattoo parlor in the Palms. Yes. So it would have been convenient.
It would have been. Mm-hmm. But there was definitely full on talk about it.
And then it cuts to you.
Wait, who did Kim go get the tattoo with?
I don't remember. Let me look in my DMs.
You know what's interesting about this scene too, about us talking about getting commemorative tattoos and the fact that I'm even considering it, speaks to a lot about the feeling of friendship and camaraderie and bonding that we had on this trip as girls and as friends, that we would even want to do that.
Totally. Kimberly said it was Kendra's friend Brittany that got the tattoo with her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. I want to say it was like somewhere on the hand, like on the wrist or like on the like right in here, like by the I don't know what that is, the thumb mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
I want to say everybody was going to get it right there, like a tiny bunny.
Yeah.
I could be wrong though.
And then it cuts to you in confessional after the tattoo talk. And you're like, I don't know if I get a tattoo, maybe to commemorate finally becoming a playmate. Is it weird that we've been on the cover twice and they're still throwing it back to like playmate being the bigger prize? Is that weird?
It is looking back on it now. Uh-huh. But at the time, I still felt like that was a viable thing for us to do and like a logical next step.
Mm-hmm.
So, and something I still would have wanted at that time. Now I look back on it and I think I'm so glad we didn't get Playmate. Like, I'm glad we got everything else that we got, like four covers and all these pictorials. And like, it's so much, and the show, it's so much better than just having been a Playmate.
I think so too. Did I tell you that Crystal went on the Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt podcast? And she was talking about like drama between me and her. And she goes, I don't know.
Oh, Crystal Harris.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she goes, I don't know why Holly doesn't like me. I mean, maybe it's because Hef made me a playmate right away and she was never a playmate. I don't know. But Heidi, bless her heart. Thank you, Heidi, was like, but she's so beautiful. Why would he not make her a playmate? I don't understand. Like, why would he not make her a playmate? She's so beautiful. And it kind of like, so thank you, Heidi. I love you. But also it like fully took the wind out of the sails of like what Crystal was trying to do.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. But
oh my gosh. And then in commentary, so we're in a, you know, sound studio doing the commentary on it. And I guess my sister walked in right as we were talking about this tattoo thing.
Uh-huh.
And you guys, my sister had just gotten her tattoo and she has a tattoo across her entire back. Like, well, not the whole back, but like her across her whole lower back.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Cheshire Cat, like giant.
It's so cute.
And like very colorful. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, well, speaking of tattoos, Anastasia just walked in and she had just gotten it. So it was like so funny.
That's hilarious.
You know what's funny though? In my notes, I do have, I'm going to wait for something special to happen. Like when Hef makes me playmate. And I said, was I really still hoping for this? But I think it was sort of tongue in cheek for the show. Like, I think I'm playing, kind of like you're playing into, I want to get married, I want to have a baby, like blah, blah, blah. I'm playing into when I get that playmate, wink, wink.
Yeah, you know? That makes sense. You're bringing it back to like your original plot line.
Yeah.
I do think around this time, we did think it was a cool idea for another pictorial if we all three had Playmate of the Month features, which would have been fun to do. Looking back, glad we didn't do it because we would have had to do videos and I'm glad I don't have a naked video floating around, but.
Yeah.
But I think we were still kind of thinking of like, what other ideas can we do for the magazine and what other things and stuff like that. And as I'm going into the Kingpin suite, I'm reminded that I went there to set up early and like make gift bags for everybody. And this was back when we were doing the fragrance lines. So I got like a whole bunch of like all Kendra's like fragrances and body sprays and stuff and like made like big gift bags for everybody. But they don't show that at all.
Not at all.
And I feel like, I don't know, that's weird.
You know what's weird on two different levels? It's weird that they don't show you doing that gesture mm-hmm. for her. But it's also weird because it would have been a great advertisement for our fragrance line and they don't show it.
Do you think maybe that's why they didn't want to do it though? Because I feel like they were stingy about plugging stuff that didn't benefit them. And I feel like Kevin kind of had a chip on his shoulder because he's such a fanboy about things he's enthusiastic about. And he loves merch so much. And I think he really had a stick up his craw about not having any control over the Girls Next Door merchandise. Like, I remember when I got the bobbleheads going, and I fucking love the bobbleheads still to this day. I think they're so cute. And he was like, I don't like the bobbleheads. I don't think they even look like you. I think it's stupid that you're all holding champagne glasses. And I'm thinking, you're just fucking bitter because bobbleheads are the type of thing you love. Like, that's literally what he spent all his money on, was like old Munsters merch and things like that. He's so mad that he didn't have a hand in our merch. And we were doing those fragrance lines through CMG, the management company that Playboy wanted with us with, because Playboy's like in cahoots with them.
Yeah.
And I think he just didn't want to show it, even though it was like something really nice I was doing for everybody and like trying to promote Kendra's stuff. It's that could have been a factor why they didn't show it.
Yeah. Definitely. I also think one of the reasons they didn't show it is because we're still Holly's bitter.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she didn't get her a gift.
Yeah.
Only Hef and Bridget are thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
Now here we are in the suite. Holly didn't do anything special. She's there just partying before we get there.
You know? Yeah, it doesn't match their narrative.
Yeah, but I think that's all about to change right now.
Yeah. So I'm having fun bowling and then I send myself down the bowling alley.
This is scary. Like, I want
to. No, I've learned later that you can die from doing this. Like, when those bowling pin resetters come down and you're down there, you can die. But I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, because even watching it, like the first time you clear like one thing and I'm like, oh, that looks like something that's soft and like, you know, you can get out of. But then that second thing comes down and you narrowly miss that. That one didn't look like something that you can just escape from.
No, that's where you can die.
Yeah.
So, but it was a great scene. I feel like it's the one thing anyone remembers from this episode.
It is a great scene. But it's still terrifying to watch back.
Totally. But I was having so much fun. Like, I was in my element.
Yeah.
And then they repeat the soundbite of me saying, Kendra's kind of wild. So I know she's really looking forward to her first overnight in Vegas, which is like, I don't know, just a total repeat of. And then I give Kendra her necklace because this is when I'm doing like the jewelry line. And I made like the do not disturb tag to like, which is an item they ended up selling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To just kind of like be inspired by her birthday. And I feel like this is such a rare moment of like camaraderie between me and Kendra caught on camera. It's like almost one of the only ones in the show.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she's genuinely bummed that I'm going home. Like, she genuinely wants me to stay. And I feel like that's because I was able to be myself that day. Like, I could drink. I didn't have to worry about Hef getting mad at me for having fun. I didn't have to worry about like looking like I'm the perfect girlfriend all the time.
Right. Yeah. I think everybody wanted you to stay. Like, everybody was bummed. Everybody.
Yeah, it would have been fun. So I have to leave.
And you're whisked off in a pink Escalade.
Yes.
That was the Palms transportation.
And I remember because I was wearing one of those like empire cut like vacation dresses and those giant like Dior sunglasses. And everybody thought I was Paris Hilton leaving.
That's funny.
Especially being in a pink Escalade.
Oh, in commentary, you say you were so gross on the plane that you were hot and sweaty and bloated and drunk. And
I probably was. I don't have any memory from that, but I probably was. Do you remember, in addition to the pink Escalade, they also had like green Escalades and green limos at the Palms? And it was this signature like puke shade of green. And I remember always thinking it was so ugly, but so distinctive. Like, it was probably a good advertising idea just because you see the green limos from a mile away and you know it's the Palms.
Yeah, for sure. And it makes sense for the Palms.
Totally.
Like, green, you know, like it totally makes sense.
But I remember ever since the first time we went to the Palms thinking, God, this is the ugliest shade of green anybody could ever have picked.
For sure.
You guys, you know what my favorite thing about Rocket Money is? You sign up for Rocket Money and they will
will cancel the subscriptions that you don't want anymore for you. You know, the ones you signed up for and completely forgot about, the dating app you downloaded just so you could spy to see if somebody who's not supposed to be on the dating app really is. Ha ha ha. Yeah, been there. But then you want to cancel it. And Rocket Money did that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place. And if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/next level. That's rocketmoney.com/next level. rocketmoney.com/next level. So fill me in on the rest of the night, because I'm gone.
Oh boy. And my memory is cloudy.
Yeah. So your outfit looks amazing. You're wearing like the purpley magenta-y dress. And Kendra has a really pretty dress. And didn't you have like the pink version of same dress?
Yeah.
Who made that dress? Like Mandalay or something? Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Mandalay. And we stopped to gamble, and it shows that on the show.
Did I ever tell you I was a dealer for a night at the Palms for charity? I took a class, learned how to be a dealer.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I did know that, but I didn't know like the extent of that.
Yeah. It was at the Playboy Club. And that's when I got the bunny costume that had like all the Swarovski crystals and stuff. And I like learned to be a dealer, and I was a dealer for charity, and like all the tips went to charity. It was fun.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking to myself while I'm watching this, I can't believe I went back to a table again, because I'm so
after that weird.
But I'm watching the footage, and there's nothing in front of me.
Oh, so you're over it.
I am not playing. I feel like I was anti doing that, but I'm not going to like stop her from doing it on her 21st birthday.
That's so funny.
But there's no stuff in front of me. I'm just here to watch, folks, because I don't trust these people.
Yeah.
So then we go over to the 9 Steakhouse, and as we're on the way over there. Oh, wait, I want to say one more thing. We're playing, and it makes it look like we totally won, or I should say Kendra totally won. She did not win.
Oh.
She lost everything. Yeah, Kendra lost. And we talk about that in commentary, so I'm not like anything. But even Kendra says, it makes it look like we won, and we totally lost.
That's so funny.
And then we walk over to the 9 Steakhouse, and on the way over there, we run into Don the Magic Wand.
Don the Magic Wand, if you don't know, Bishop Don the Magic Wand, was this guy who got famous around that time because he was hanging out with Snoop Dogg a lot. He was like his sidekick, and he's like a real life pimp.
Former
in the
pimp.
Past. He dressed the part. He looked very good.
But he turned.
Yeah, he turned into like a bishop.
Yeah.
And I looked, but we loved him. We thought he was so cool and so funny. And he was always dressed to the nines and all that stuff. I remember like even when we would run into Snoop Dogg, like I didn't care about Snoop Dogg. I was like, where's Don the Magic Wand?
Because he was probably such like, fuck a thing. You.
Yeah. It's probably like, fuck you. But so Don the Magic Wand. And I looked him up recently to find out what he's up to. And his page is like a little dramatic. Like, I guess he wrote his autobiography, but like the publisher ripped him off or something. And he's like, don't buy this. They're not giving me any money.
Oh,
I don't know. But I would be interested in reading a book by him. I think he's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, he knows it's Kendra's birthday somehow. And he presents her with a present. Well, because she says that everybody there knew it was her birthday, even Don the Magic Wand. So they must have been advertising that we were celebrating Kendra's 21st birthday there.
But don't you think production must have hooked up that he was going to be there in advance because he had a gift and everything? Like, that just wasn't organic.
I don't know. It seemed like we just sort of ran into him.
That's so funny.
But I don't know. Maybe they did.
Because he seemed like set up for you guys to run into. Like he's just lingering in front of the nine. And nobody's like, come on. Nobody's approaching him. You could see him from a mile away. He was famous at that time.
I don't know. I didn't put much thought into it. I just felt like, wow.
We're just living in the matrix. People are setting shit up for us.
I am. And so anyway, he had a custom pimp cup made for her. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, it was all pink and had like a Playboy bunny and rhinestone stuff. I'm legitimately jealous of this pimp cup.
It was really cute. And it reminds me of how Kevin had a pimp cup. Do you remember that?
Oh my God, I forgot.
So pimp cups were a thing on the show because Kendra liked them. But then like for a gift, people who worked under Kevin had a pimp cup made for him. And it said K-Boo on it because I called him K-Boo.
Yeah.
And then on the bottom, it said sip. Don't gulp, because that's what he'd always tell the editors and the story people, like, take the story slow, sip, don't gulp. Huh. So he had his own pimp cup in his office.
I don't know that I knew it said sip, don't gulp.
Yeah.
But I knew it said K-Boo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then she puts her grill on and takes photos with her pimp cup, and we go to the table at the nine, and we're having dinner, and there's a big group of us. Like, mm-hmm. I say earlier that I think that there was like 13 of us total that night. And I don't know if you guys see it in this, but they pull out a bottle of pink crystal champagne, and it's a magnum bottle. So it means it's like huge. And they start pouring champagne for everybody. And I don't really drink champagne. I don't love champagne. I know that's, I don't know if that's good or that's bad, but
I love it until I'm hungover.
I don't like that. It's bitter to me. I don't like the taste to it.
Well, Cristal we always had, and Cristal is very tart. Like, a lot of people don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I haven't found a champagne that I love. I like flat wines flat wines and not too sweet. But anyway, we have this. And later, when we get home the next day and we are all staying around for dinner, Hef pulls Kendra aside and he says, that bottle of champagne you had at your birthday party was $3,500, right? Was it
$35? I never knew. So whatever you know is what it is.
Wait, I knew what it was. This. Wait, let me see if I put it in my notes. Oh, $3,800. That bottle of champagne was $3,800. And you guys, that was only the tip of the iceberg.
Did you even eat that? Or did you even order that though?
Or did they just bring it? I feel like they just brought it.
Yeah.
They just brought it. And I don't think anybody was like, oh, we want the pink Magnum Cristal. Yeah. But maybe. I mean, I didn't hear anybody order it. But not only that, but everybody had tons of cocktails. Mm-hmm. And we all had steak dinner. Like, and I don't even think I realized that was going to be Hef's bill at the end of it.
Nobody would have thought it was Hef's bill. They would have thought the show was taking care of it or the Palms comped it.
Yeah. But apparently Hef got the bill and he was most offended by the $3,800 bottle of champagne.
That's the second time this has happened. Because remember when we go on the shopping spree at the Caesars Forum shops and we just thought it was like a write-off from licensing or something and then Hef got the bill for all of it?
Yes.
Jeez.
Yeah. But I think even he thought it was
anybody did. That's crazy that he got charged for that.
I know.
I asked how much a Magnum of Cristal goes for these days, and it's like $6,000, like for a Cristal Rosé.
In the club?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
I guess that makes sense regarding inflation when you think about how much she was charged back then.
Yeah. Okay. So then we're on our way to go to Rain Nightclub.
And the camera lingers on a bottle of Captain Morgan once you get in there. And I think you guys need to know that that was another back end advertising deal because we supposedly had an advertiser problem on E! So Captain Morgan would sponsor the show, but instead of doing a traditional commercial, it would be for product placement.
That makes sense. I didn't even notice it.
So you guys are in the club. You're having so much fun, all the things. But then there's this scene where I notice you go up to Kendra and you're like, don't let anybody bring you down. Tonight is your night. Like, was there drama?
There was drama before we went into the club. So we're walking to the club and, you know, we have security like parting our way. It's crowded. There's a huge line to get into the club. We don't have to wait in that line. We have, you know, the cameras and security and the Palms people are escorting us in. And all of a sudden there's like a commotion. person in the line area or in the crowd area, and they're yelling at Kendra to come over. And I'm thinking it's just somebody who recognizes her or friends from San Diego mm-hmm. or whatever. I stay put with like the crew and the security and all that kind of stuff. Some of the security and I don't know, one or two of the girls walk over with Kendra and she's talking to somebody and she gives them a hug. It's some guy and they're like talking back and forth. I don't know what's going on. I'm just waiting. But then she turns around and she's visibly upset.
Oh,
like really upset. So we go back up to the room and to calm her down. And it turns out that was her ex there.
The guy she lived with before the mansion.
Like, I think so.
And that's the same guy who was like the high school sweetheart that she went to prom with. Like he was in the prom photo.
I think so.
And the San Diego visit. Okay.
That's my understanding of it. And I mean, I didn't know who that was and I didn't hear the conversation. And she was sort of hysterical when we got out of that situation. And so, yeah, I'm hugging her at the club and I'm telling her, I'm not going to let anybody ruin this night. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be good. It was sort of weird. And I wish I would have like heard more of the conversation. I don't know.
I have so many questions. Like, he must have stalked her there, right? Because I imagine if the Palms is throwing this huge 21st birthday party for her, it must have been like advertised to some extent.
I think it was advertised. I think she might have even been promoting it because like she said, like I said that line earlier, she said, everybody seems to know it's my birthday here. Mm-hmm. Dawn the Magic Wand yeah. is showing up with a gift for her. Mm-hmm. Like people are shouting out, happy birthday, Kendra. It's like, and I think it's on the marquee.
Yeah.
I don't know that for a fact, but I would assume like, I think it was kind of an advertised event.
Because what are the chances that her ex-boyfriend from San Diego would just be there on any old night, not just be in Vegas, but be at the club where she's having her party? Like, he had to have done that on purpose.
I think it was on purpose, yeah.
And why do you think she was upset? Do you think this was when the sex tape thing was happening?
I did not think of that at first, but it's possible.
Because just so you guys know, like, I'm sure you know if you keep up with, like, Girls Next Door history and stuff, Kendra released a sex tape that she'd made with her that same boyfriend, like in 2010 or something. Like, but this guy was kind of like putting it out there. I don't want to say threatening because I don't want to accuse somebody. Like, I don't know.
Well, and we don't know his side of the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kendra's side of the
story.
Yeah,
we don't know. But he was kind of like making it known that like, oh, we have this sex tape. We should put it out. I remember for years she was kind of talking about
it. I remember it being a long time. I remember, but this is not when this could be what he was saying mm-hmm. to her, but this is not when I learned about the sex tape.
Yeah, I don't know if it was this early, but I just wonder because why else would she be so upset? I mean, there could be other reasons though too, because I mean, even though Kendra had the most freedom of the all three of us, it's still when you're living at the mansion, you feel very scared of getting in trouble. So maybe he was like, oh, I should come hang out. And she's like, no, like, I don't want you anywhere near me because if anybody finds out, like, she could have felt that way.
And maybe she still felt friendly towards him, which I think she did for a mm-hmm. while. And he was hurt by that. And then that hurt her. I don't know. I don't know.
It's a mystery.
It's she didn't really say. She was just, you know, crying and hysterical and like couldn't believe he was there. And why is he here? And I was just trying to like, we were all just trying to like get her to, you know, forget about it. This just in, body odor is officially canceled for good this time.
Unlike certain other deodorants, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet and, yes, even your privates.
Special offer, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code NEXTLEVEL at LumiDeodorant.com, LumiDeodorant.com.
Lumi deodorant is like a breath of fresh air for me because not only do they have amazing scents, but it's such a light product and it doesn't leave like that gross white residue or anything like that. It just makes me feel very clean.
Lumi is seriously safe to use everywhere on your body. Pits, underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet.
Created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated.
Clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. How? Unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. More like a pre-odorant.
It's baking soda free and paraben free.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code NEXTLEVEL for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code NEXTLEVEL at LumiDeodorant.com. Yeah, so I know that I learned about the sex tape. I don't know how much longer. I don't even know when in the timeline it was, but I remember her coming to my room one time and being like, "Oh my God, I have to tell you something." So my ex, and like told me the story, and I was like, "Holy shit. Is it like legit?" Like, and she was like, and she was saying, so she tried to say for a while that she wasn't 18.
Well, that's what Kendra's mom was trying to push.
Well, she tried to tell me that too. She's like, "I don't even think I was 18 when I," but she was, she was.
Yeah.
But she tried to say it too. I don't know if that was pushing from her mom, like say you weren't of age yet.
Yeah. I mean, she was pretty open talking about it because she would even talk about it in front of me. And
well, I feel like she ended up having to go tell Hef and Mary because I think what she was really worried about is that they were going to find out and she was going to get in trouble for it.
Yeah. Because this is an environment where she feels like she can't even admit that she was a stripper.
Right.
So what's a sex tape going to do?
That's going to come up later in this. In this too.
Yeah, so crazy.
Yeah, she was terrified about it at first.
So I don't know, maybe her being upset had nothing to do with that. But I wanted to ask you, have you ever had a bad experience running into an ex?
You know, not really. Mm-hmm. But let me explain why too. I've always been in a long-term relationship. So for one, there's not really that many exes. And I would say the only time that I was, well, there's two times. I think the two times I was uncomfortable running into an ex was the stalker one that I told you about, and only because he was stalking me. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't think it would have been uncomfortable to run into him. And then, and we're not there yet, but we're almost there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was married when I came to the mansion, and even though I was separated and everything, we didn't file for divorce for a long time. And it was because I felt bad about it. Like I didn't want it. Like we were still friends. Yeah. I felt like it was mean and I didn't want to like open that can of worms or deal with all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But now the show is a success and he's getting more and more, I don't know how to say it, like grumpy about me being there. And, you know, like kind of, I felt an attitude about it now. Yeah. Like it wasn't so, you know, positive and let me, good for you, like cheerleader. Now it's starting to get like negative. And I go to, and we'll get into it, but I'll just tell you briefly here. We go, my mom and I, and it's on the show, go to the Halloween convention in Chicago. Uh-huh. And he serves me with papers there.
No, wait, I didn't know this at all.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And he told me beforehand, he said, can we meet?
He doesn't know where to find you any other time. Did he think you'd like get in trouble if he served you at the mansion or something?
No, no. He said, can we do it at the convention? Can we meet up so I can give you this? And I said, no, because I'm filming. Like, I'm filming. I can't do that, you know, at this convention and everything. And they did it anyway, right in the middle of my signing.
Oh, God.
And not to me, which doesn't even count. Like, right? Like, I think I talked
to... Like, to your mom?
Yes. Like, he had his sister go up to my mom and say, and hands her the paperwork and says, "You've been served."
Oh, my God.
And I don't know any
that
of those...
That reminds me of those dance movies where they're like, "You've been served." Step it up, too.
And I was just like, wait, I told him not here, like anytime, anywhere, but not here. And then that's when they fucking do it. So I did have to worry about running into him there.
Were the girls next door cameras filming?
Yes.
Did they know what was going on?
No.
Oh, my God.
Because they gave it to my mom.
Yeah. And she's just like, what the fuck?
And my mom's like, what do you mean I've been served? I'm like, what? What does that even mean? And do you have to say that when you, because it's such a like movie thing, you've been served.
Oh my God. I don't know if you have to, No, I don't think so. It reminds me of like how Olivia Wilde was like speaking on a panel about a movie she directed and she got served.
100%. That's what happened to me.
Oh my God.
When she told that story, I was like, huh, I guess I'm not the only one. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I thought,
I thought you weren't going to come with a running into the next story.
And I thought, you know, I knew he was getting like irritated and pissed, but I didn't think that it was to the point where he was just going to try and like embarrass and humiliate me in front of in front of my TV show and the Halloween convention and all that kind of stuff and fans lined up.
Oh my God.
But other than that, like, I don't really have exes. I mean, it's Nick and then it's Hef and then it's, well, there was one little person kind of in there. But he's so nice. Like,
like, who cares if you're into him?
Yeah. And then before that would be the ex-husband.
And then the stalker before that?
No, there was one other boyfriend. And we actually stayed on fairly friendly terms. I mean, I don't talk to him or anything like that. But when I did do an appearance, this was a million years ago now. But when I did do an appearance back in Sacramento, he was like, oh, can I come? My girlfriend really wants to meet you. Like that kind of thing. So that's always been positive. The one before him is the stalker. And then before that is like, we're talking like high school stuff, you know? So like, I wouldn't even probably recognize anybody.
Yeah.
I'd be like, wait, you're who? Yeah. Have you heard about our favorite hidden object game, June's Journey? It's a mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. You know how much Holly and I love the glamorous history and murder mysteries. In this game, you search for hidden objects from the parlors of New York to the sidewalks of Paris, and you know we love that. Dive into June's captivating quest to uncover a scandalous hidden family secret. Plus, you can customize your very own luxurious island estate, and you can even chat and play with or against other players by joining a detective club. You'll even get the chance to play in a detective league to put your skills to the test. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. I'm not even sure what chapter I'm on anymore, but I just have so much fun playing hidden object games. Like, I can literally do them for hours and hours. And my favorite time to do it, like, anytime I'm in a waiting room waiting or on the plane or waiting for the plane or all those kinds of things, it's the best way to pass time. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
I think I've only had a run-in with one ex. I'm trying to think. Like, I never ran into my high school boyfriend because I just left town. Hef is not somebody you'd ever run into because there's so much, like, pomp and circumstance wherever he goes. Like, if you were there somewhere Hef was, it's because you knew he was going to be there.
Right.
I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously, my ex-husband and I are close because we have kids. Okay, so I think the only ex I've ever run into was this one guy I dated who was just like the worst energy human. And I ran into him a couple times. But what's weird and interesting about this is nobody told me he was there. I didn't see him. I didn't hear him. I can feel his energy from across a large room if he's in it.
Yikes.
Like, I can feel his nasty ass energy. I ran into him once. This was years ago. I was at one of the clubs at the Wynn, one of the smaller ones they had at the time. And I felt like something was off. Something was off. And then he just like busts into like the group I'm standing in. And I was like so disgusted. I took off and like literally ran out of there. And I was so freaked out and weirded out by it that I just kept walking to the point where I was like back where they have like the convention rooms and the banquet rooms and stuff like that. Like, I don't even know where I was going, but I was so freaked out by it. And the other time I ran into him was years later. I was married and we went out to the Sahara back when it was called the SLS, and they'd opened this really big nightclub in there, and we got this really good booth and we're having fun and stuff. And then we were leaving and like security was walking us out, and I felt the energy again. And I'm like, I know he's here. And I'm looking around and we're walking by the bar and he's standing at the bar.
Ooh. That is insane that you can feel the energy like that.
That's how like bad vibes he is.
Wow.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
And but the thing I thought was funny about him standing by the bar is when we were together, he was the biggest diva when it came to going to clubs. Like if he wasn't given the best booth in the club, he'd throw a fit. If we were walking in and they try to like stamp your hand, he'd get all pissed. And yeah, dude, don't you know, I don't need my hand stamped. If like all the champagne wasn't comped, he'd get pissed. Oh, I'm never going back there again. So I'm like, oh, how the mighty have fallen. You're just standing at the bar.
Paying for your drink.
Yeah, totally. So that's my awkward run-ins with an ex.
Yeah.
What?
Well, at least you haven't been served.
I know.
And then I say in interview, it meant a lot for me to be there for Kendra's birthday because she's almost like family. And I just think that kind of shows the bond that we're having at that time again. Yeah. And the cake comes out.
Yeah, tell us about the cake.
You know what's funny? I actually have a story about the cake that I want to add because it's just like a plain sheet cake. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's cute. There's nothing wrong with it. It's got all the sparkler candles in it and stuff, like little firework candles. Mm-hmm. But you guys, have you seen the cakes that Vegas does? I mean, for a long time now, for like the last 10 years now or more, they're elaborate and amazing. So this cake looks like a Costco sheet cake compared to what like...
Yeah, I think that's just the times because even at the mansion, we would always get sheet cakes with like our picture printed on it in sugar paper. And we always thought that was so cool. But even like this was in 2006 when we're doing Kendra's birthday, even like a few years later, like when I was doing my show in Vegas, when I would do club promotions, if it was my birthday, they'd get me like a fucking Rapunzel cake.
Yes.
And it would be like huge and have like Rapunzel, or like we did like this crazy Harry Potter one for Angel's birthday. Or I remember this guy who was a club promoter threw me like a Valentine's party at a club once. And the cake was just as big as me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what would happen too. I would do a party, even a halfway to Halloween party or whatever. And they'd have this big Halloween cake and like all kind. And they were massive and they were fake. Were yours fake?
No, mine were real. I fucking ate them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, most of these were fake, I felt like, because I was easily able to hold it. So there might have been a layer that was real, but the majority of it was fake because you can't hold and pose photos with those heavy ass cakes like that.
I did with my Rapunzel one and it was heavy.
The whole thing was real?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Those are so heavy.
But it was just, it was a shift, but it was a shift that would happen maybe around like 2008, 2009, like the big cake. But we're right before that. So it's still like a sheet cake is like the shit. Like, oh, I have a cake with my picture on it. Woo.
Yeah. And at the time, like, obviously, I think nothing's wrong with the cake. And I'm like, ooh, cake, of course. You know, but like now looking back at it, I'm like thinking, wow, the progression of cakes has really stepped it up.
Totally.
Really stepped it up. You know what I was thinking too when you were just saying that? If we were still at the mansion, like, we would have stepped up the cake. Like, we would have been like, no more with this sheet cake stuff. We're getting like cool cakes.
Oh, the cakes would have been phenomenal. And we would have been finding like an excuse a month to get, he would have had a cake bill.
Well, you know what's funny is I actually did start stepping up the cake thing, like my murder mystery party. Remember I designed
that
cake
was really cute. Yeah.
With all the like murder weapons on it. Yeah. Fun. So we kind of were stepping up the cake game way back before the cake game got stepped up. So we have this amazing cake sitting there, but no utensils. And we're literally eating it with like our hands.
You know what you guys could have done though, but nobody was doing this and thought of it. You know how people will take the big like cup, wine glass and like stick it in and then they eat it that way. But also if you have no utensils, how are you going to eat it out of that?
I know. I don't think they expected us to actually eat it.
Yeah. But we love fucking cake.
Yeah. I'm like, you're talking to the cake girl here. Yeah. Come on. But I know Kendra says in commentary that she burned the shit out of her hand because those sparkler candles, like they don't blow out or anything. Yeah. And we're trying to dig into it. And she said she got burnt. And I remember something catching on fire.
Oh, but no.
Like, yeah. I don't remember if it was like a napkin. I hope it wasn't somebody's hair because that happens in clubs all the time.
I'm surprised they didn't capture that on camera.
I am too.
Or maybe they did and they couldn't show it because like gaming commission or something like.
Honestly, I don't remember this night that well, but I do know that so much more happened than that was shown. And I do know that we talk about that in commentary too. Like they didn't even show half of what happened here.
Wow.
And I wish like I want to do like,
maybe we'll see deleted scenes though.
Maybe.
Yeah, I really have not watched the deleted scenes on season two.
I think I watched it on the first disc of season two, but I didn't watch. There's so many. There's so many. Maybe that would be great if there was some on the deleted scenes. Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I would love to be hypnotized and remember this night, though, because I know it was wild. I know it was.
We should do that. If we have an episode coming up in the future, we need to find a good hypnotherapist to have on call for this kind of thing. But in the future, if we have an episode where nobody can remember anything, we should do that and like vlog it, like go to a hypnotherapist and see like what comes out.
I don't know if I can be hypnotized.
Well, you're about to find out.
Oh, that reminds me. I talked to your psychic.
Yeah, how'd it go?
Great. She's amazing. But she did tell me about a past life. It just came out of nowhere.
What was it?
In the 1830s, 1840s, I was a high-class dancer / stripper in Paris.
Interesting.
Would that be like Moulin Rouge type thing? Like,
yeah, one of those type places.
What if I worked at the Moulin Rouge?
Could be. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love it.
I didn't even ask for any of that. That just like came popping out of her mouth.
Oh, my God. Wait, that's amazing.
I'm not even talking about that. What is this?
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay. So then Kendra's boob keeps coming out the whole night. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I don't know if she keeps pulling it out. Well, I know she's pulling it out a lot of the times.
Yeah. I feel like the one when it's on camera, she is, because she's like looking at the camera laughing. Like, I feel like it's very similar to when I'm out by the pool and flash the camera.
Yeah. I don't think it's just popping out on her own, but it was like this thing that she was doing for like the, and forgetting to put it back in.
Yeah.
And all night long, I was putting her boob back in her dress. I was like, Kendra, let's just like keep this in. So then it cuts back to the mansion and you're arriving home.
Boring old me coming home.
Aww.
And I say, I missed you. I was gone a few hours.
Yeah, but
like, I know I'm just being cute and being nice, but even hearing stuff I say in the confessional, like nothing beats coming home to the man that loves you. Like, I just feel so dumb saying that now.
Yeah, but I feel like it was very much like, even if you were gone for just like a few hours, it was very much
like a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Hef comes down the stairs to greet you. Do you think, I mean, I guess this is all hypothetical, because if we weren't doing the show, we wouldn't have been in Vegas. But let's just put that aside. Do you think that if you had gone to this party and then you came home and there were no cameras, that Hef would have greeted you still?
Doubt it. I think I would have had to come find him. I think he would have been up in the scrapbook room.
I was just curious because I thought it was very sweet and loving that he like was excited that you were home too and met you halfway on the stairs. And then I was like, and I'm torn. I'm torn whether I think he would have done that or not, because I feel like he is very needy and is very excited to see you home and happy to see you. So on one hand, I feel like, no, I think he would have done that, cameras or no cameras. I think he would have been like, oh, I'm so happy you're home. Come upstairs. Let's go. You know,
I don't know. I feel like I would have had to more go find him, but he would have been like ready and like impatient and like, yeah, it's time.
Yeah.
So then you guys go to a strip club. What made you go to the strip club?
Okay. So we're at the regular club for till really late. I mean, I don't remember what time. I'm not watching the clock or anything like that, but I know it's at least 2, if not later. And we're going back up to the room and Kendra like lost her shit. She was like, you guys are party poopers. I don't want to be done. This is Vegas. It's my 21st birthday. Like, we need to be going out and like freaking out that we need to go out. And I know we went back into the room and regrouped. I feel like there was some confusion with like the Girls Next Door crew, because they kind of thought we were done. But they can't, they feel like they can't miss if we're going to go to the strip club. But then can they film at the strip club? And I think they're like trying to like panic and call different clubs to see if they could film in any of them. I think that one of them finally says we can in like a special area.
Do you remember where you went?
Oh, it was Scores. I'm pretty sure. So anyway, this is where things get kind of fuzzy, because I do not remember how we get to the strip club. Now, I know we went in like that giant bus. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that bus took us there, but I don't have a recollection of getting back on the bus and going there. And I've asked a couple other people and they don't know either. But anyway, I know that we go in there and I know we are, you make a comment, I think in commentary, that it looks like a really dead club and there's nobody there. Well, one, it's like probably 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. But two, they purposely like put us off to a certain area so that, you know, people can have their privacy and still. And I remember it was pretty crowded. I don't know if it's slammed. I don't know how crowded they get, but there were a lot of people there. But I remember that a lot of the dancers were like hanging out with us in our area, and we're like super excited that we were there and super excited about the cameras and everything. And then Kendra disappears. And I was like, where's Kendra? And then I hear like, you know, murmurings that she's up in the champagne room with one of the strippers or a couple of the strippers or something like that. So we're waiting and we're waiting. And mind you, the rest of us don't even want to be at the club. Yeah. Like, we're kind of done for the night. But like, okay, we're doing this for Kendra. She just ditches us.
Oh, no.
And then she like never comes back.
Ooh.
She's gone for a long time, to the point where I finally just leave. And Crystal Camden said she came with me. I don't know who else came with me. I don't even remember how I got back, but I know I left. So then in the scene, and I'm just watching this with you guys, Kendra comes out and she's like dancing on the pole and she's like very professional and stuff like that. But later she starts freaking out and she was like, oh, she's panicking because it's clear that she's done
had
this
experience
before.
As a stripper. Yeah.
But she tries to say, oh, I just used to do Carmen Electra's striptease video a lot. And she's like,
oh my God, that's funny. Which, just so you guys, like, we don't think there's anything wrong with stripping, but it was just this atmosphere we lived in. Like, you were not supposed to be a stripper and be a playmate. It was something you felt like you could get in trouble for if you ever admitted it. Like, it had to be a thing.
Yeah. And I had heard that she was. But it didn't, I'm like, I don't care either way. But then I feel like we're getting kind of proof that she was. And then she still, but what I thought was interesting about this is that we're this far in and been around her this long. And that's still something that she's denying.
Yeah. It's like she should feel a little more secure because she's like part of the show. What are they going to do? Kick her out. And then when it shows you guys leaving the strip club, they make it seem like there's paparazzi. They show like fake flashes and like cameras clicking and stuff, but there is no paparazzi in Vegas.
Oh, that's funny.
It just doesn't exist. So that's stupid.
See, I left before that. Yeah. So I don't know what was happening, but that's funny. They probably just added that for the show.
1000% they did. The only time I've ever seen paparazzi in Vegas is when I lived at Planet Hollywood and Katie Price was staying there and she had a bunch of photographers down by the valet, but that was probably something she set up. There just is not paparazzi in Vegas. Like, if you see paparazzi photos in Vegas, somebody set it up.
Well, and then in commentary, Kendra says that she went up to the champagne room and she passed out up there. And
damn.
Yeah.
They just let people pass out?
I didn't think so, but crazy. I don't know. Maybe that's just what she was saying.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
So did you guys do anything else? Like, how early did you have to get up the next morning?
Yeah, I wish I could remember more. Like, I was like, were we hungover the next day? Did we eat breakfast? Like, what happened the next day? Because it's all sort of a blur. The one thing I remember doing is just curling up in a ball with the blankets on the bus and sleeping on the way home. So I was definitely tired. I don't recall being hungover. I mean, I got to assume I was to some extent, but I don't remember like feeling like I'm going to throw up or anything like that. And then I just remember everybody sleeping. I remember it was a really quiet ride home. And I don't remember this, but in commentary, I say that we stopped at Pizza Hut on the way home. Mm-hmm. I doubt that we got any breakfast at the hotel before we left because I think we probably slept until the last second when they're like, okay, you guys, we have to. Mm-hmm. We had to be home in time for buffet dinner.
Damn.
Because you see us pulling in right as buffet dinner is going.
Were you studying on the bus?
I may have brought some of that stuff in there to do, but I just remember really sleeping.
Yeah.
it was a very quiet bus ride home.
And then you guys come back in time for buffet. There's a Dickie Ban cameo. You know what's funny? We talked about this on our Patreon before, but I can feel the vibe here too, is how sometimes we'd go down to buffet on a movie night and we would just look like shit, naked mole rat, drowned rat. Like, it's weird, you know, being as self-conscious as I was about my looks that I did that. But I feel like it was because there was a vibe at buffet dinner. And it was because everybody knew Hef and his girls were out partying. Like, if it was Saturday, they were out partying the night before for Friday night. And it was all these like older people who don't do that anymore, who are Hef's friends. And they're all kind of like living vicariously. And they want to hear about, oh, were the girls out late last night? So it's kind of this feeling of like, so cool that you were just out all night. And of course, you look wrecked the next day. So it's kind of like accepted in those moments.
That's what I was just going to say. It was 100% acceptable to look like shit down at buffet dinner because, whoa, the week we just had.
Yeah, it was almost like complimentary to have like this was like, look at all the partying they're doing. And damn, he kept those girls up all night.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it was a vibe and it was valued.
You know what's so funny about that? Until you articulated that, that is 100% it. 100% it. But I never, like, I never thought that. Like, I tell people sometimes, like, the first time I met Nick, I'm going down to buffet dinner and I've lived there a long time. I have no makeup on. I have my hair in a ball on the top of my head and everything. And I feel like, yeah, why did I let myself go like that? Like, why do I just, like, not care? But you're 100% right, because everybody that goes there knows that you look like that, because if they only knew what you guys have been doing all week long.
Yeah, like I never thought it and I never recognized it in the moment either. I only came to that conclusion recently because I was trying to think, why was I so okay looking like shit at buffet when what you looked like there was everything? But that's why there was a vibe and it was so real.
It was kind of prestigious.
I think so too. Like it the felt worst cool. Off like what, like of all the mansion activities, I feel like buffet and movie was some of my favorite times. And it was just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You just felt like cool. Like everybody's looking at you like, oh, wow, they had so much fun this week. And it was like, okay to look like shit.
Yeah.
Because it was a testament.
Right. It's so crazy. It's so 100% funny. The vibe. 100%. Oh, you know what's funny? You're sitting at the dining room table and I notice that you have mustard and A1 sauce. And that's such a flashback for me.
Because I love a fucking dip, even to this day. I have to have a sauce with everything.
Well, I remember you and I both were like passing the A1 sauce back and forth. We love dipping the rolls in it.
Oh, like, yes.
Sometimes I would just get a plate with like a couple of rolls and like a puddle of A1 sauce in the middle. And I'd just be like dipping. That's my dinner.
My other big thing was like a bagel with cream cheese and mustard.
You got me on that. And not only the bagel. No, I didn't do the bagels. I did the...
You did in Jamaica, because I ordered it every morning in Jamaica and then you started ordering it.
But at the mansion, I did the English muffin.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
I love a fucking dip.
And it's funny because mustard doesn't sound like something I would want in the morning.
Well, we know you wanted it in New York. The yellow mustard. Yeah, everyone knows.
I want only yellow mustard for sure. But like, I don't wake up and think, oh, mustard sounds good. But you got me on a kick of the English muffin. It's probably after Jamaica where I started doing it. But the English muffin with the cream cheese and a little bit of mustard, yellow mustard on there is amazing.
Yum. So good.
I know.
The only thing I have left on my notes is they're doing a wrap up and Kendra's voiceover is like, it's Hef's 80th birthday and my 21st birthday. And I'm like,
yeah,
it just sounds, I mean, everybody knows it. Like nobody's a stranger to this age difference. So it's just kind of cringe to see it laid out that way.
Yeah.
And I think it shows a side by side of them like blowing out their candles.
Yeah. In commentary, I say that we had just gotten back from Europe like less than a week before. Yeah. It was like 6 days, I think, before. And that I say that the next weekend was Jazz Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're just like exhausted.
Totally.
Oh, and then she tells Hef in the scene, we went to the strip club last night and I was the stripper. And I think she's already trying to like...
Oh, prep.
Yeah,
okay, prep it that that's makes sense.
In there. Or in commentary, you say you're done with Vegas. When is Disney going to let us film?
Oh, God. I mean, I think that was another thing that was hard for me, too, about this show and not being able to, like, showcase my personality is I am such a Disney adult. And, of course, like, Disney's never going to let the Playboy girls film anything.
Right.
So I will say one thing I love is that we were able, because this was before Disney owned Star Wars and George Lucas and Lucasfilm was always super nice about letting Kevin use Star Wars stuff. So I do feel like I kind of got to express my personality a little bit that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was sad because, you know, I couldn't do Disney stuff.
Well, you say you're over Vegas. When's Disney going to let us film? Kendra says, when's the NFL going to let us film? And I say, when's the Winchester house going to let us
film? I bet they would have.
And I say, we want to spend the night. And that is true to this day. I want to spend the night in the Winchester house.
Wait, I thought you have already. Or they've offered for you to, right?
I've spent the majority of the night there. Uh-huh. Like I had it to myself. I was with a, I was filming. So I had mm-hmm. like a crew with me, but like we got to stay there until like 2 a.m. And, but I haven't like spent the night like me and you having a slumber party there or something. And I've asked them about it. They do want to like make this room into like a room that people can spend the night in, but there's no active plumbing in the house.
Oh, and so it's not ready.
It's not ready. And then like there's like logistic mm-hmm. things too, like keys and who gets to be in there and security and like just a lot of stuff that they have to figure, and permits from the city to allow people standing in there. But I told them, and but this is already a long time ago, so maybe I need to remind them. I told them, please, please, Holly and I want to be the first ones to spend the night in there. We've been talking about this for years.
Totally.
And we literally have, because in the San Diego episode, when we go to the Whaley house, we talk about Winchester House and wanting to spend the night too. Like, this has to happen.
Totally. It'll happen. I'm certain of it.
And then we are asking why the Queen Mary footage was never used in this.
Yeah.
So what were your best and worst?
Okay, so best is my bowling scene. I feel like that's a funny scene that is very memorable. And it was one of the rare times I'm myself on camera and had fun. And it was like a good like bonding scene for me and Kendra, I feel like. Worst, I think, is that they don't show me giving Kendra a gift until the necklace. And even that, I think, is kind of played off like, oh, Holly's so self-centered. She has to give Kendra something from her jewelry line. When in reality, when I was designing the jewelry line from the start, I was thinking of what are we going to do and what can like inspire these pieces and stuff. But like, I'm not shown like doing the gift bags or anything like that. They try and make it look like I'm anti her birthday or something. So that's my best and worst.
So my best, I think, is just I touched on it earlier, the friendship, the bonding. Yeah. I think it's really strong in this episode. The worst is probably, I mean, I guess maybe, I mean, they don't show it, but maybe the drama, like they don't show the drama that she had with the ex-boyfriend. They don't show the drama, like going back to the room too early kind of thing. Like
that would have been good for the show. Like, I get it why they're not including the ex-boyfriend, because maybe they don't want Hef to feel weird or something. But I don't know. It's funny because they would do all this petty drama that turns into real drama and I feel is hurtful to us. But then there's actual good drama that happens and then they don't include it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. I don't know if I have a worst.
Sometimes a better way to phrase the worst thing is if you could change anything in this episode, what would you change? Because that's what I would change. It's like, show me making the gift bag. Show me that I'm supportive of Kendra's birthday for once.
Yeah. I don't know that I would change anything either. I mean, I thought this was good and it was a good, it was, I mean, I guess they left a lot of stuff out. So I think that's mm-hmm. unfortunate. I don't know how much more they can put in. I know it's only a 22 minute episode. So there's only so much you can put in. You do see a little bit of Kendra's pouting though, when they get back from the strip club and they're in the pool and she's kind of calling everybody party pooper still. Yeah. It's like 4 or 5 in the morning and she's like still, you know, doing that. I think that's it.
Fun episode.
It was a fun episode. I thought it was going to be really hard for us, but I feel like for mm-hmm. most part, it's very positive.
And, yeah, I think so too.
And it was a bonding episode.
And for some reason, everybody has amnesia about that trip.
It's weird, you guys. Everybody.
So strange.
Yeah.
So if you guys would like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.